Are you ready to dream on? Do you know how to fly high and soar among the clouds? Get ready to live adventurously, because the Laura Meeks Show starts now. Listen as Laura lifts you off the ground while teaching you how to fly high. Forget ground-level drama and be prepared to confront your dreams head-on as she encourages you to navigate towards your North Star and into what just might be the best life you've imagined. Dream on. Live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show.
Welcome, everybody, to The Laura Meeks Show. We had the intro music and all that. The beauty of today is that this is a testimony to working hard to get everything to go. My guest today is, I can't quite see this, Carl Anthony. This is your Hold the Sky album.
I recognize that one.
You recognize it. The other people may not recognize it yet, but they will. I have a lot of really good stuff to chat about. So my guest today, Carl Anthony, singer-songwriter, travel mentor, just all around good guy, you know. And here's a testimony. I want to thank you for coming in. Use some tea or coffee to stay alive. One of the things that I notice, and this is an interesting thing about holidays, as holidays get close, is that the power of all of this energy that's coming together at Thanksgiving tends to also have kind of an effect on our body as well. And there's a certain amount of stress that comes with this whole traveling. Like, I know you just went to Denver. Now it was cold. I just came back from Minnesota. So you're cold over there, and now you're hot over here. And
I was glad to, get back before the big snowstorm came. So we're happy to be home.
Yeah, well, this will be interesting. We're supposed to go to Northern California on Friday, but it'll be interesting to see if we get over the mountain. There's no way to get to the north. But you either have to go through the Grapevine or the pass up by Edwards. So we'll see how that goes. But I welcome you aboard, Carl. Thank you very, very, very much for...
It's a privilege and an honor, Mark. Thank you.
Here's what I want. Before anybody has the chance to not understand who you are, where you're coming from, one of my... And Carl, I've known you for quite a while, and you've been out here to the desert a number of times. But one of my absolute favorite stories, and I want to get this story in right off the bat, because I think this story that I want you to tell tells a lot about who you are and the work that you do. And the issue is Hold the Sky, that song. And can you bless us with that whole story about the little child and where you were and why that was important?
A significant time in my life, actually. I was, the deeper part of that story is I was going through a lot of pain during that time. That I was going through a divorce, and to back up even further, I'll let people know that I'm a part of a healing arts program at a children's hospital. And so what that means is I get to, been doing that for 14 years. I get to go room to room and sing with kids in the hospital setting, and I get to write songs with them. I get to connect with them. I get to use music to lift the spirits of the whole hospital, being the staff, the parents, the children. And so I do that when I'm not on tour, and I go room to room and I engage with people, and especially the children. And I was scheduled to be in the hospital, and yet I was not feeling up to it, as you can, everybody can relate to it. Yes, I wasn't feeling up to it because I was feeling very depressed. I was feeling in a dark place in my life. Things weren't appearing the way I would like them to appear, and I was resisting the change that was happening in my life. But for some reason, I got in the car and I went to the hospital anyway. And I walked into the hospital, and the very first room that I walked into, a little guy, kind of right out of the get-go, right out of the get-go, he said to me that getting chemotherapy was like having an earthquake inside him. And it kind of stunned me, and actually it stunned his mother, who was also in a corner of the room. I said, well, what do you mean? And he looked at me and he said, you know, it's like the ground is shaking inside you. And when he said that, he really got my attention, because he pretty much explained how I was feeling that day. Like the whole foundation I was living with in my life was crumbling beneath me. And so the first thing I had to say to this little guy was, how old are you? And he proudly said, I'm almost 8. And so this almost 8-year-old had got my attention. So I, you know, you want to say the right things to these kids. And so I looked at him and I said, so what do you do when the ground is shaking inside you? And he thought for a minute, and then he put his hand in the air and he said, hold the sky. And I mean, I at that point, I just thought this little guy was just a little philosopher, you know. And I immediately, the songwriter in me that said, let's write a song. And the very first verse is what we wrote right away. It's, when the ground is shaking inside of me, hold the sky. When the ground is shaking inside of me, hold the sky. And it was it became an anthem and a theme of the whole song. It goes into another verse, you know, when the kingdom, you know, crumbles into dust, you know, say goodbye. You know, just that the aspect of transition and honoring that, and it took a 7-year-old to inspire that moment.
Well, and in so many ways, there's so many parts to this story. I mean, just for the fact that this little guy. So let's unpack this a little bit. First of all, you're going through a big change. Now, one of the things that I'm really, really about is transformation and change. Because as you well know, I made a change. I used to be this tall macho pilot guy, and now I'm this cute little motivational speaker gal. And that change, you know, when you're talking about, one of the things that you said is, you know, I was in a dark place. Many, many people go through change. In fact, recently I gave it in part of my new motivational keynote. It deals with Heraclitus, who was a Greek philosopher 2,500 years ago, and he made the bold statement that the only constant in life is change. So yeah. One of the things that I talk about in my keynote is the fact that change is part of what we are doing here. This is part of what happens. So then the question always comes up is how can you deal with that? So here you have a 7-year-old who is relating to you the feeling of change. My heart is, you know, my insides are rumbling. And then I love the idea, you know, then what do you do? Is you hold the sky as you can. So transformation, not only to me, there's a lot of things to chat about here. So here, first of all, you didn't want to go and you go anyway. And incredible inspiration comes for a song. Hence, one of the things that I think is important in the land of change is sometimes you just have to show up. You know, sometimes you just have to go to step, you know, very much like today. sometimes you just have to kind of, you know, get your gumption together and go. And then the reason that you felt moved to go is, man, here is an inspiration, not only for a song, but an album. And a very inspirational show. You know, I mean, you often sing that song when you're in concert, and for me, that's just a really, really important piece. So let's
Well, you brought up a good point, because there's I mean, I did not want to go, and yet I went anyway. And as a result, it did become something that has been so meaningful to my life, and as a result, been meaningful to so many others, because the song truly and that moment that I get to share has touched a lot of people. And I just it's a constant reminder to me to realize that what you said is so important, is showing up is the key. You know, it really just making yourself available, realizing that we're all receiving the invitation all the time, and but you have to accept it. You have to accept the invitation to show up, and I think that's the biggest reminder for me.
Now, one of the things that I put down, because I think this is important as we go into Thanksgiving, is that anybody that is cognizant or watching the news, understanding what's going on, not only in our country and around the world, there's often a feeling that, oh my gosh, there's a dark story here. This whole thing is really going in the wrong direction. But my take on that is that there always has been dark sides of this world that we're in. That I'm a huge fan of Abraham Hicks, and Esther always talks about the fact that there's good and bad, there's light and dark. You have to have this contrast so that you can figure out what it is that you want. And so to me, as we go into the Thanksgiving weekend, part of what I'm thankful for is the fact that I'm aware and grateful for the good things that are happening in the world. Because yes, there's bad. And I relate the current politics to the fact that if we didn't have the current politics, I don't think that America would have woken up and said, hey, what's going on here?
I think
in so many ways that the things that happened, that when you think things are not going your way, in reality, it is just part of the path to where you're going. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, you know, the current politics have opened up the wounds that have been there for America for a long time, and so much of the yuckiness that we are dealing with cannot be denied anymore. So, you know, the wounds are open, and that's the only way that they eventually can heal. So now we can address them full on, because we know that they exist. And for so long, there was the debate was if there really was racism, if there really was, you know, you know, just all this stuff. And so now it can't be denied anymore. So now we need to address it directly.
I do that
with my music.
Well, and I think you do it wonderfully well with your music. One of the things that you mentioned when you were going through this in the hospital was the fact that you were resisting change. That you were going through a divorce. Annie and I both have been through a divorce. And this to me is another, in my life, another great example. For me, and this is probably a common experience, I think, for anybody who's been through divorce. The divorce was incredibly, incredibly painful. And one of the tear-jerking moments of my life was when I was leaving the house and my poor little kids are looking out the window, and I'm just crushed. I'm just crushed. Like, I'm leaving. What, you know, is this good? Am I making, you know, I mean, the thing about all the things that go through your head, am I making a mistake? Is this, should I try harder? All of the things that go through your head. And this is the resisting the change. I just really don't want to. Excuse me. But what ended up was an incredible marriage to Annie, 33 years, gone through a transition, three great kids, a book, all kinds of meeting Carl, all kinds of really good things have happened. excuse me, even though there was a change that occurred. And I think, and so talk to me about this resistance, this feeling of resistance, and how you deal with that, because you, divorce was not the only change you've endured.
Sure. I think at the concert that you attended in the desert, I probably mentioned, I believe I did, that it's the change that we resist in our life that hurts the most. I mean, changes, as we mentioned before, changes are always happening. There's always things happening to alter our direction, but it's when we put our own resistance to that flow that it becomes painful. If we would flow with it, and that's why I was talking about why that was so painful, because I was resisting that particular adjustment in my life. I was thinking that was not what I wanted and not what I would have chosen for my life, and so I was resisting it, and therefore it was painful. And I do know that with all the other adjustments that have happened, if I would just relax into it and just go with the energy and see what's on the other side of that door. I noticed that there are many adventures and along the way, and I think it's a constant reminder for me.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting. Esther Hicks often talks about the idea of being in a boat and trying to row upstream. It's like, you know, we get this in our head that we have a plan. You know, I love talking about paradigms and how we are all trained by our parents and then our teachers and our mentors, and then we get this thing in our head and we're going down the road and we're paddling to get to where we want to go, and it's not working, and you wonder, well, I'm doing everything they said and I'm paddling really hard, when the analogy is like, slow down, turn around, just let the river take you where you're going. But
that's good. That reminds me of that. You remember my, I think I did the other day, my song called Slow Down.
Slow Down.
Yeah. That blues song that I did.
Yeah. When I'm a huge fan of blues. So when you played that song, I was like, because the question was, is anybody in the audience like blues? It's like, yes.
Yeah,
drum lessons. And so I'm really, that's the blues is the thing that I really enjoy playing. Not so much for the fact, and it's interesting because I play a lot of B.B. King and stuff like that. And it's interesting as I'm listening to the songs, because in so many ways the songs are so dark. I love the rhythm.
Why I always say it's nothing better than a blues song with positive lyrics, which is kind of crazy. I think why people like blues, though, I think it's because it's deep, deep feeling. It's all about feeling. And so that we could really, everybody can relate to that, because we're all going through them.
Yeah, well, and you know, in so many ways, and we're going to cut to a break here in a second. But when we come back, part of what I really want to chat about is the power of your music, the power of your work in the hospital, and how you've engaged some people. And in particular, ponder this. Another thing that has really impressed me in your music was a song called India, where you mentored, I don't know how old she was, five? The little girl that sings with you on that song?
That's my godchild, Shivani, and he's on the recording.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when we come back, I want to talk about that, because I think that's an important piece of your work as well, is mentoring people that are around you. And we'll talk about some of the trips and things that you've talked on. So with this is hang tight for just a second. This is Laura Meeks on the Laura Meeks Show. We are on Transformation Talk Radio. We are going to be right back in 2 minutes. Take care.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Hoff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Have you lost a loved one and would desperately love a sign to prove that they are okay? Here's a tip for you. Be curious. Keep an open mind about everything. The proof will come from the most unlikely places. The messages promise to challenge your current beliefs and what you've been taught. Accept and appreciate all, no matter where they come from. I'm Angie Corbett-Kuiper. I would love for you to share your signs from beyond on my closed Facebook page, Beyond Grief.
Hi, I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
It's kind of a jazzy song, don't you think?
I just did a whistle on my new Buddha Land song.
Is it not? Let everybody know that we are back. This is Laura Meeks. We're on the Transformation Talk Radio. My guest, now on my side, you're on this side. I'm not sure how it looks to the earlier audience. So if I'm pointing this way, that means I'm talking to Carl. Today we have Carl Anthony, incredible singer, songwriter, and humanitarian, mentor to many, and has incredible insight, I think, to a lot of things that we talk about. One of the things, Carl, that I want to catch right here at the break, so as new people come in, is the fact that there's a lot of work that you do. One of the things that you do is taking people to Thailand, which, as we said over the break, you're coming up on your next trip on the 8th of December.
The 8th of December is when actually I go to Thailand. Our trip is on the 9th of January.
Oh, really? Okay. Now, is there, for those watching, can they jump in on that trip? Is there still room?
Well, probably not this year. There's always a possibility if somebody really wants to go, you can let us know. If we can get you in, we would. We've got 25 people on this trip, and but like I said, there's always a possibility we could take another. But we'd have to check that out for you.
Well, now let's talk real quick about your trips, because when I first met you, you were going to India. Now you're going to Thailand more often than India. But these are not. There's a lot of trips that you can take. I mean, you can be on cruise ships. You can take trips that are mentored and followed by people just to see a country. But as I understand, when you go, it's not just like cool temples. I mean, part of this is your work, correct?
Yeah, no. We show people Thailand, of course. So we go to the temples and things of that nature. But this, we call it not your typical tourist trip. It is, we call it a seva trip. Seva in Sanskrit means service. And so what happens is we take people to rehab centers and orphanages and disability centers, hospitals, schools, also an elephant sanctuary. We take the people to places where we take 10% of what everybody pays, and we contribute to these grassroots organizations that are doing really beautiful work in that community. So not only do we get to experience those places and sing to those kids and experience what the work they're doing in their community, but we also get to be received by those communities. And it's quite a welcome when we show up. And it's a beautiful, a couple of weeks of meeting the people and interacting with them and being a contribution for them and what the work that they do in that community. And it's just beautiful. I mean, I've been doing it for years. I've been doing trips like that since the 1980s. And I did 8 trips to India with my friends, the Pomar family, and now this is our 5th Thailand trip, and so we'll be doing it every year in January.
Well, and to me, one of the things, I've traveled all around the world. I was in the military for a while. Annie and I have traveled in many places, but I find that there is an incredibly positive effect when you can kind of break out of the hotel and the airport and the bar and the, you know, and seeing the temples on the bus, and then to actually meet the people. Because, you know, a lot of the work, like when we were in the military, I went to Thailand. We were down by Pattaya Beach.
I'm
not sure if that's an American version of Pattaya Beach.
Probably Phuket.
Yeah. So part of that was interacting with the people that were there. So not only did we, not only were we there to be in the hotel, but a lot of our work was out at the airbase. And so we were interacting with the local people. It actually worked out for me, worked out really good, because in the hangar, they had some women, native women that came in and cooked for all the workers that were in the hangar and doing stuff. That was how they, you know, it was kind of their version of a food truck. You know, they had
the food is great there, isn't it?
Yeah. And I just love eating regular food. Now, I will tell you, I got to tell you this quick story. So when we were there, we had a meeting with, we were there in the military to talk to the highest general in the Thai Air Force. And so they flew down to the airbase that we were at, and we opened up a building, it was the officers' club, which was funny. We had left this base 20 years ago, and in general, the whole base was like a wreck. The buildings are crumbling, trees are going through the windows, and all kinds. But they were able to clear out the officers' club and put down carpets and lights and everything. And then they had native food. And so I was sitting at a table with other members of their Air Force of my rank, and we had gone through this buffet line. I had this little plate of food, and as I'm eating this food, which was kind of like chop suey, there was this little thing, and what it looked like was a little group of grapes, only the grapes were like BB size. And I thought, oh, that's so cute. You know, there's this little tiny, not knowing what it was. And what I didn't realize is one of the grapes had fallen off onto my spoon, and I put it into my mouth, and it was some sort of hot pepper. And if you're used to hot peppers, the smaller a pepper gets, the more powerful it is. blew my head off, and it was funny.
I know exactly what it was, and it was well, couldn't feel your face for a while.
I thought I knew hot food, but this was like blow my head off. And the funny other thing was is that they were serving drinks, but they were serving in, I guess, in traditional glasses, which are like 5 ounces. So yeah, this guy's walking around, you know, I'm like, can I have like 8 of those? my face is burning off. But it was fun. But to go back, I mean, to me, the value, talk to me about the value of taking people and actually sharing the culture. What do people come back from your trips talking about?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think there's so many benefits from trips like this. Like I said, I've been doing service trips since the 80s. And not only are you experiencing the culture in a relaxed, real way, but you're really getting to interact with the people and be received, because, you know, you're there. They know that you're there to be a contribution, and they really appreciate just to be appreciated. That you would spend time to bring smiles to their kids or to give any little bit of contribution. There's just a whole nother level of interaction that takes place. But not only that, but the people that you meet that are from the same country that you're traveling from, you know, all the U.S. people that I, you know, and people from Canada and all over the U.S. that I pull together. And these are people that know me and my music and are on my list that want to come with me to these places. You get to interact with like-minded people that are willing to spend a little bit of their vacation, a little bit of their holiday by doing something a little bit deeper that has a service component, that has a contribution. And you get them, I mean, the people that I brought on these trips have become very wonderful friends for life. And that's another component to it that most people don't realize is going to happen.
Well, let's go back to talking about transformation. So many people, and I think a lot of people that are following me, realize that a lot of my work is about change and transformation, and the fact that there are times in your life where it seems to be a jumble. You know, you pointed out where you were post-divorce, dark place, resisting change. All of these things are going on, and you're going to take some steps to move forward, to break out of that, to go with the flow. It would seem to me that, and we talked a little bit about this on the break, is that the human spirit, I think, is lifted when in service. And so that if there are people out there that are looking to bust out of this dark spot that they're in, one of the ways would be to get in service, whether it's a trip like you guys do, go and be of service. But I would say your work in the hospital is another piece of that, right? Talk to me. What would
sure? I mean, I think the most important part is the interaction with others. You know, like we were talking about, get out and interact with other people in social ways, in service ways, and that's that part about showing up. It's about being, you know, being a part of community activities. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. So there's in my little community where I live, there's what they call the turkey trot, you know, and they have those all over the country where it's just a fun run or walk, you know, where people get goofy dressed up and just be with their community. And a little bit of the money that people pay for this event goes to help the local causes that we are a part of in our community. And you get to interact with people. I mean, just being a part of those type of social community events can make a world of difference for everybody. And the other thing that I like to encourage people to do, and that we seem to be doing less of, is go out and see live music, support live music. It's
a fan of live music.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that there's, with all the technology and all the things that we've got going on and the ways that we can absorb music and absorb art and all this sort of, there is nothing like experiencing a live event, live art, live music with other people. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a sec, because I think one of the good news, bad news, I mean, here you and I are interacting with each other, but I'm up in the desert, you're down near the ocean. This I think is a helpful means, but one of my concerns, and I'll go back to when I was a kid, you know, mom would kick us out of the house and just like go out and play. And now there's so much to do inside the house that I think people get the feeling like, well, I'm with people. I'm Facebooking and I'm doing this. But I think your comment about seeing live music is part of that. You need to get out of your house, right? You need to be, there's a difference between, you know, watching a live concert on your TV and being there with all the people and smelling the smells.
It's a huge difference. And I think that's, you know, and it's not that we don't do things, you know, online. I mean, I love the online experience. I love listening to podcasts. I mean, that's one, I learned so much from the different podcasts that I am subscribed to. We just need to make sure that we're mixing that up with also real live events, you know, where people gather and be together. I think that that's a real integral part for our health, mentally and physically.
Yeah. Well, and the work you do, I mean, all the talk that we've talked about, the work you do in the hospital to be with people who are in a challenging situation and then using your art and your song to be with them has an immense impact. Now I want to switch gears. I want to switch gears for a second, because there's another story that I absolutely love. You did a song called the India Song, and it's one of my favorites. But one of the things that I love, and you've told the story in concert about the fact that you were over in India and you. I guess this is your goddaughter, is that right?
Yeah, Shivani, yeah.
And
she's
all of a sudden,
yeah, kind of how old, she was probably only 9 years old or something like that when we recorded that song. Shivani is a part of the family. Shivani and Kushani, they're two of my godchildren of the Pomar family. They would do all the setup and logistics of the India trip. They're amazing, wonderful Indian family, and they just are a big part of my heart. And they would they're a big part of a lot of my mantra trips. And we were staying at the ashram, and I was watching the Ganga. The Ganga is the main river in India. And I was just watching the flow of the river, and I started writing a song. And Shivani was nearby. And it's basically, it was the story of a day in the life of being in India. You know, the sun is dawning in India, the chai is brewing in India, the village wakes, you know, in India. And it's this beautiful little soft little song about just the day in the life of India. And I was in each, it's a soft song and a slow song. So there was enough time. I would have not imagined it being a call and response kind of a song, but automatically Shivani just started repeating every line. The sun is dawning, the sun is dawning in India, in India. And it almost became like a chant with that. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, this is so beautiful, just singing it that way, just her and I. And so we wound up recording that song just that way.
Well, and it turned out beautifully. And part of the reason I bring that up is that part of your work, not only in the hospital, but just being a human in the arts, a part of what's happening is that you're connecting not only to other adults, but to younger folks who mm-hmm. are then engaged. You know, this is another thing that we need to ponder, I think, in our culture, is the arts are hugely important. And it's not just because you can go to a live concert and feel some music, but there's a spiritual connection that happens. And you're mentoring other people. You're mentoring people on your trip. You're mentoring kids. You're singing songs. Even in your concert, and part of what maybe people don't understand is that when you're in concert, it's a participative thing. I mean, this is not me watching you sing. This is us participating together, which I think has an incredibly connective effect. So tell me how that plays out, how your work with others is connecting you.
Well, I've always, from the very first time I started writing music, I enjoyed the invitation of having the audience be a part of the experience. Now that there's you have to do that in a, I try my very best to do that in a way that is very easy and not too vulnerable, because you know when you say sing along, you know, automatically I don't sing, you know, I mean, people have a lot of judgment around how they sound or how we look, you know, how we, you know, appear, how we present.
Totally.
And so I never call my concerts sing-alongs, although I have to admit many of the songs, we're not singing the whole song, but in almost many, many of my songs, there's a place in there that it's an obvious hook, an obvious place for people to interact and be a part of it, a call and a response or an easy phrase for people to join in on. And I find that to be something where it's not just about the performer, watch me, look how good I am. It's more of, I get to be a facilitator us being together.
And I think that's an important part of what people need to understand about the concert, especially a lot of the call and response chanting. You're absolutely right. First of all, a lot of the words are words that we wouldn't be common to us, some of the chanting words. So in that sense, right. Get them wrong in that you didn't really know the words to start with, but they're very, very easy to just be part of, whether you're belting it out or whether you're just kind of singing along. But it's you're absolutely right. It's not like you have to carry a melody or anything. It's just being part of that. But it's the connecting piece, I think, that makes your music so transformative, I think, for your audience. And I would liken it to, you know, if you're in rock and roll and your favorite singer's up there and they, you know, they've sung Stairway to Heaven for 1,000 times and they sing, the audience wants to sing their part. We Are the Champions, I saw recently on Rhapsody. You know, that's you being in the audience and doing stuff. And I think that's part of what makes your music and your concerts fun is that you walk out of there having expended some energy and connected in a way that brings it in. Plus, if they don't know the Starry, Starry Sky, in fact, that's not always possible for you to do the Starry, Starry Sky, but our spiritual center recently, you were there and we darkened the room and had all the lights and the lights and everything. And that adds to the ambiance of you being part of this music.
I've always enjoyed visuals and music together. My light show that I provide is something that just changes the environment so that another way to bring people into an experience versus just an entertainment event.
Yeah. Oh, and so, you know, when we take a look at your work in the hospital, you're connecting through your art to the patients and these kids that are in the hospital. Yeah. You know, when you're on the trip, you're not only there with your group, but you're in service to the people that you're around in Thailand or India. And that's a connecting piece. You know, and then in your concerts, you are connected. I mean, we've had a concert here at our house, but also in the center and other places. So there's, you know, there's big crowds and little crowds, but in each case, I do think that people leave with the experience of like, I was part of something. I didn't just watch something on TV and click the channel. I was like, you know, looking at
right.
people and being part of that. And, well, you know, I think as well, go ahead.
Well, I'm glad you have that experience, Laura, because that's what I really want. I want to give people an experience of something. I love hearing you talk that way. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not a paid promoter either. I just experienced this, and again, I think part of the value of having you here and being on the show is that this is something different and transformative that I think that the listeners need to at the very least. Now I will do a little promo for you. I was on your YouTube channel. You have a lot of great videos on your YouTube channel that cover some of your songs. And Hold the Sky, I think, was one of those that you did a video. So that's one way for them to catch a hold of you. I think that they're going to put out, if they haven't, part of the replay will show your website. So carlanthony.com, K-A-R-L, carlanthony.com is a way to connect to you as well. So that way you can see where the concerts are and everything else that's going on. Sadly.
Thank you.
Sadly, when you decide to jump in on this deal, this is one fast hour of really fun conversation. So I want you to go out and have a fabulous Thanksgiving. We'll be up here in the desert. I know you're getting ready to do some stuff, do some walks, be with people, transform your life. Last words.
Well, thank you so much, Laura. I really appreciate it.
This has been fun.
Always
a joy. And we're going to be somehow, some way, my life will intersect on one of these trips somewhere.
We'd love to have you. You should come. You and Anna, that'd be great.
And I'll bring my little hand drum.
That'd be perfect. Perfect.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for us. This is Laura Meek Show. We are live on Transformation Talk Radio. We talked with Carl Anthony today. You can get him, carlanthony.com. If you need to get to me, flyhighliving.com is where I hang out on the internet. So thank you all. And we will see you in it'll be a replay, I think, on the Christmas Day is my next show. And then I got a great guest coming in 8 January. So see you soon. Thanks for being here, Carl.
Bye.
Bye-bye. See ya.
You've been listening to The Laura Meek Show. Dream on, fly high, live adventurously on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you'll join us next month as Laura helps you find your unique gifts so you can bring them to the world. For more information on Laura Meeks or to listen to past shows, visit her website at flyhighliving.com. Check out her hit Dream On 12-week course, where you get the personal attention you need to fly high in your new life.